From Parshas Vayigash, and we're interested in the reconciliation between the brothers and Yosef. Yosef reveals himself, identifies himself, and then he sends them back to Yaakov in Eretz Canaan with the great message that yes, I'm still alive and I'm the leader, the viceroy of Mitzrayim. And then Yaakov Avinu decides that he's going to send Yehuda as his, so to speak, as his emissary. You know, it's even before Yaakov and the brothers are going to go down to Mitzrayim, Yehuda is going to be sent first. And this is a pasuk in this week's parasha, in Bereishis Mem Vav, and the pasuk reads the following: Ve'es Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef lahoros lefanav Goshna. And the words of the pasuk are very strange. You know, if you translate it literally, you're not sure exactly what's going on over here. Yehuda is being sent before the rest to Yosef, and what's lahoros? Lahoros usually means to rule on something, meaning to offer a verdict, like you go in front of a court, and the court...
To instruct, give an instruction.
Correct. That's going to be Rashi, but before we get to Rashi, we'll have the simple, straightforward meaning of the word lahoros. Lahoros means a hora. Hora is an edict or a decision, a verdict. So Rashi says, what is this concept of Lahoros? And why is Yehuda being sent first, before the rest? And Rashi says, L'takin lo beis Talmud shemishom teitzi hora. It means the following, that in order to produce poskim, meaning those who can give hora, those who can give a verdict on any question, on any case, you have to know the Torah. Obviously, if you're ignorant of the Torah and you don't know its rules and its deeper meaning, you cannot possibly offer a psak, you know, offer a ruling. So this hora depends upon what's called a Beis Talmud. And the concept of a Beis Talmud is what we call in modern parlance a yeshiva, a place where we study the Talmud and we delve deeper into its underlying meanings, we define its rulings and its principles. Yehuda is being sent forward in order to establish this base Talmud. And that's going to prepare the ground for the Bnei Yaakov to reach Mitzrayim, and they know that they'll have a citadel of Torah study, a location, a central location where Torah will be studied, and from that study hall we will produce great scholars that will be able to serve the Jewish people in Mitzrayim as what we call Morei Hora. Have you ever met a Morei Hora in your life?
A rabbi
who will make decisions. There are certain people who are situated in a place, they have their set location, and they are Morei Hora, means that they're there from certain hours and you can go and ask them questions. For example, here in Yerushalayim, we have something called the Beis Hora. It's in Mea Shearim. It's always kedai to drop by there to see what's going on. It's fascinating. They have Morei Hora, people who are there just the entire day almost, from day to night. And you can meet them, and you can ask questions to them on any topic whatsoever. You don't have to pay for it. In fact, you can get a bracha from them also. And it's really exciting to see a Morei Hora, somebody whose genius is such that he can decide halacha on any question on the spot. I happen to be lucky when I came here with my wife just 5 days after we got married in New York City. And after you get married, you have a lot of questions to ask, a lot of questions that come up. You can relate to that, right, Rabosa? You know what I'm talking about. And I said to my brother, who was here way before me, I said, Hananya, where can I find a Morei Hora that will answer my questions? And he said, go to the Beis Hora in Mea Shearim. And I said to him, I'm not looking for stringencies. You know, I'm looking for leniencies. So he said, don't worry. All the leniencies you'll get over there, all the kulos in the Beis Horah. So there I came in, and I met a rabbi. I didn't meet him officially because I was just there to ask questions. And he wore the whole garb. If you're familiar with the Meir Shalom garb, you know, he wore the gold stripes and he wore a strimal. And he's sitting there, and I come in and I'm sort of like shaking. And I'm going to ask him a question. And sure enough, he said, it's mutter, everything I asked him, it's permissible. I said, wow, this is great. I'm coming back every time. And over the course of a period of time, I got to know him on a personal level. He's no longer alive. His name was Reb Shalom Eisen. And he was brilliant. In fact, in the yeshiva world, they knew him not just because he sat in the Beis Horah for many hours a day, but also because of his expertise on the Dalet Minim. So, for example, in the Mir Yeshiva, which is right next door to the Beis Horah, they used to stand online to see Reb Shalom Eisen, and they would ask him about an esrog, and he always came up with a chiddush. You know, you thought that the esrog was perfect. He told you that it was chaser, it was missing part of it. He was just such an expert. And I'll never forget, when I got to know Reb Shalom, he said to me, if your wife is ever around, please come and introduce your wife to me. Again, you have to picture this rabbi, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, I'm freaking out here. You know, I'm going to bring my wife up. So he tells you where he lives. You know, in Meir Shalom, there's an area called Batei Matan, if you're familiar with it. And you have to walk up three flights of steps. There are no elevators to get to Reb Shalom Eisen's house. So my wife and I were in the neighborhood. I said, Charn, we got to go meet Reb Eisen. I told him if we're around, we're going to go meet him. So we come up, and the first thing that Reb Shalom Eisen notices is that my wife is pregnant. And he says to me, you brought her up three flights of stairs and she's pregnant? Mm. And then he told me that every morning I have to bring her crackers and biscuits to her bedside and bring her slippers so that when she gets out of bed, she doesn't have to walk on the cold floor and she could immediately eat the biscuits and this and that.
So you see, the shayla is a treifa. You shouldn't have asked the shayla. You shouldn't have gone. Look what you got into.
I shouldn't have gone, you know, three flights up with my wife. Then I got a real musa shmuz over my head. I remember we were at a wedding, my wife and I, and I said to Reb Shalom Eisen, you know, my wife is here. Would you like to say hello? He said, for sure. So he came over to the mechitza. My wife came over to the other side of the mechitza, and he had to say hello. You know, one time I questioned his psaka, you know, because it looked red to me, if you know what I mean. So he said, it's mutter. So I made a face. So he said to me, I'll say it in Yiddish and then I'll try to translate it to English. He says, Du hast ein Weib, ich habe tausende Weiber. He said, you have one wife, I have thousands of wives. He said, in other words, I have a lot more experience in these shaylos than you do. So that's called a Beis Horah. And Klal Yisrael really needs a Beis Horah. So, you know, Yaakov in his insight, in his wisdom, in his foresight, he says, I got to send Yehuda down in order to set up this Beis Horah. And the question that we want to ask is twofold. Number one, why Yehuda? Why is Yehuda chosen amongst the brothers to go down to Yosef and to establish a Beis HaTalmud? And the second question is, how is it that Yehuda is able to stand in front of his brother Yosef, who's the viceroy of Egypt, and ask him if he could set up a Beis HaTalmud? It wasn't long before this meeting that Yehuda, at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, had another encounter, another meeting with Yosef. And we're going to soon see that at that meeting, Yehuda was shaking the ground under the earth, and he was about to take law into his own hands, and perhaps even destroy the life of Yosef. So the minakotzel cuts from one extreme to the other, that here, Yehuda and Yosef had this very first encounter at the beginning of Vayigash, which is a very something that could explode. You know, it's very explosive in potential. You know, full of sparks. You know, and then Yehuda sent to present in front of Yosef a program, a plan to create this Beis HaTalmud. Now, in order to add insult to injury and make our life even more difficult, we want to study a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma, which you'll see on the right column as the third paragraph, which is bolded, and usually when I tell you to look into the text, it's bolded. says the following, Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. On this pasuk, the Tanchuma asks the following question. Emasai mevarchim al aner b'motzoi Shabbos. We have a weekly mitzvah called Havdalah, in which we make a bracha, borei mori ha'esh, on the Havdalah candle. And at what particular moment in time do I make the this bracha? Is it enough that I just light the candle? So the answer that was given was, kach shonu rabosenu, this was the response, ein mevarchem al aner, you don't make the bracha ner, ad she'osu li'oro, until you benefit from its light. You'll notice the minhag of people trying to come forward towards the light of the Havdalah candle. They look at their fingers or whatever they do in order to benefit from the light. It's all based on this tanchuma. Uminayin lomdu. How do we know that you have to benefit from the light before you bless the candle? He says, Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Himself. Shenema, when God created the world, Vayara Lekim Sa'ar Ki Tov. God beheld the light and He saw that it was good, meaning He benefited from it, so He was very happy about it. V'achar came, and immediately the pasuk says, Vayavdel Elokim Ben Ha'or Ben Ha'choshech, God separated between the light and the darkness. The light would be during the day, the darkness at night. Rav Zira bar Avo Amar, Mikan, from here we see Shemavarchem al Aner B'motzoi Shabbos Mishia Osu, when he gets benefit Lioro from its light. What does this discussion about the bracha over the Ner Havdol have anything to do with the meeting between Yehuda and Yosef? Yehuda's being sent down to Yosef before the other brothers, and now we have a whole question about the Ner Havdolah. And the Tanchuma starts with this pasuk, so it must be that there's some connection about Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, when do you make the bracha? So let's just summarize our three questions for today. Our first question is, why is Yehuda chosen to go forward and set up a Beis HaTalmud, a Beis HaRoah? Secondly, how is it that Yehuda is able to stand in front of Yosef when just yesterday, so to speak, he was about to knock Yosef's block off, so to speak? Are you familiar with that phrase?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know in Johannesburg if they have it in Joburg also.
They have it in England.
When you say England, you don't mean Manchester, do you? Oh, you're including Manchester. Okay, just wanted to know for sure. So how could it be, you know, that this just a whole change in the relationship between Yosef and Yehuda? Just yesterday they were at loggerheads. There was a tremendous friction between them. It was very explosive. It was almost at the point of pulling out a knife and murder. And now they become the best of friends. And Yehuda's coming forward to Yosef to set up this Beis HaTalmud. Also in the Tanchuma, the connection between the meeting between Yehuda and Yosef and the Havdalah candle. And on top of it, the Medrash says that since God beheld the Ar and He said Ki Tov, and then He separated between the Ar and the Choshech, how does that prove that God made a bracha, He made a blessing on the light? You know, we're basing our decision about making a blessing over the Havdalah candle on the fact that God made a blessing, but it doesn't say in the pasuk that God made a blessing. God beheld the light and He saw it was Tov, it was good. He separated the light from darkness, He made Yom and Laila, but now it doesn't seem to be any source for the bracha. You know, we want to know about the bracha. Now, in the paragraph on the bottom right, you'll see on the third line the word shinui and then hagadol. You want to underline those two words because here he emphasizes the radical transition or change in the relationship between Yehuda and Yosef. Because at the first meeting, just a little bit earlier, at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda says to Yosef, not knowing that he's Yosef, and he says to him, Ki kamocha kaparo, you're like Paro. And Rashi says that what does it mean, you're like Paro? He says to him, if necessary, I will kill you and I will kill Paro as well. Yehuda was a tremendous force, a physical mighty soldier, if you will. And if Yosef would refuse, because Yehuda was now begging to get Binyamin back, and he gives this whole passionate speech, a very long speech that's recorded at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, trying to convince Yosef to allow Binyamin to be brought back to Yaakov, because Binyamin was locked up in prison, accused of a crime that he didn't commit. And now Yehuda's threatening Yosef, and it's a very, very tense situation. Now, in the middle column, you'll see a Tanchuma. Again, on the Pasuk, Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav. Now, the Tanchuma quotes a verse in Eov. The verse itself is very difficult. Hamshel u'pachad, what does this mean? And the Tanchuma says that these two words called Hamshel u'pachad are names of two great angels. The word Hamshel is a reference to Michael, and the word Pachad to Gavriel. And these are two angels that are, in a sense, antithetical. Why? Because Michael comes from Mayim. He is the angel over water. Gavriel comes from Eish. He's the angel over fire, and fire and water obviously are antithetical. But then the pasuk says, "Hamshel vafachad imo, ose shalom bimromov." He makes peace up in the heavens. So you have these two angels that live in the celestial spheres. They are antithetical. One is Gavriel, one is Michal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates shalom. He creates peace between two opposite angels, two opposing polar extreme angels. Then the Medrash goes on to say that this is also what Hashem does with Yehuda and Yosef. Yehuda's called Ari, he's called the lion. And that's why Yaakov Avinu at the end of Sefer Bereishis bestows upon Yehuda the bracha, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. He compares Yehuda to the lion. And then he addresses Yosef, and he says, Bechor Shoro Hodor Lo. That's actually a pasuk in Zos HaBracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, but in any event, we identify Yosef with a shor. So you have an ox, and you have a lion. And they are misnagchim zeim zeh, they fight one another. You know, the lion is probably a more powerful animal than an ox. But in any event, they're misnagchim zeh zeh. You know, negicha means, you know, when you're goring one, the other is goring the other. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that even though this Ari, that's Yehuda, and even though this Shar, that's Yosef, are antithetical one to the other, there's a tremendous friction between them. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Ose Shalom Bimromov. I am the great peacemaker, says God, and I will make peace between these two brothers. Esmol Mitznagchim Zed Zed. Yet just yesterday, they were standing one against the other, Vayigash, and they were fighting one against the other, Vayachshav, and now he, meaning Yehuda, will be sent to Yosef, and all of a sudden, Yosef and Yehuda are the best of friends. That is Oseh Shalom Bimromov. So the same Almighty God that makes peace up in the heavens between Michal and Gavriel makes peace down in earth between Yehuda and Yosef. So the Medrash says the following, Esmol Misnagchim Zetze. Yesterday, Yehuda was confronting Yosef, and it was a very dangerous situation. Yehuda was threatening Yosef, Ki kamocha kiparo. If you don't capitulate, then I'll kill you, and I'll kill your master Paro. That's the nature of the tension, the friction between them. That's the encounter between Yehuda and Yosef at the beginning of our parsha. And the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Kinei ha-malachim no'adu avru yachtov. You may be familiar with that pasuk. And the pasuk is referring to two kings. And these two kings are fighting one against the other. Hema ra'u came to mo nivhalu nechpazu. You know, the pasuk describes each king who's in a state of chipazon, of nervous tension, of bahola, radach hazosam, they realize that they are pitted one against the other. But at the end of the day, it's hamalachim no adu. No adu means they have a rendezvous together. So we're talking about two kings, and this is the Medrash's description of Yehuda and Yosef. They're two kings. And these two kings are fighting one against the other. Nismale evra zelzeh. Evra means anger. So they're full of anger one to the other. But yet, Noadu Yachtov. Somehow, these two kings who are fighting one against the other with an evra, with a cast that's very intense, nevertheless, they come together and they become one. What's this all about? The whole thing is just a puzzle. We know that this first meeting between Yehuda and Yosef at the beginning of the parasha is like that of two kings that are battling one against the other. They're full of anger one against the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oseh Shalom B'Romov. He's going to make peace between the two of them. And how so? How does this peace and harmony express itself? Yaakov Avinu is going to send Yehuda down to Yosef to set up a Beis HaTalmud. And all of a sudden, Yosef and Yehuda are the best of friends. When just yesterday, they were at each other's throats. How does that happen? And what's it all about? Now, from the left column and on, which starts with the words Yehuda Shahoda B'mas Etomar, we're going to see that Yehuda and Yosef respectively represent two approaches to the service of God. The approach of Yehuda and his excellence, his outstanding attribute, is what's called repentance or tshuva. Yehuda is caught in a very low criminal action, in the mice of Tamar. He has a relationship with Tamar, and that's a relationship with a woman who's not his wife, but even moreover than that, it turns out that she is an erva, she is his own daughter-in-law. Again, that he doesn't know. But in any event, they're taking Tamar out to the Beis HaSreifa. They're about to implement the capital punishment to Tamar because they see she's pregnant out of wedlock. And Yehuda stands up and he says, Sadka mimeni, I am guilty. And he confesses his guilt publicly at a great price of humiliation. And on this, the pasuk.
Why did they want to kill her? Because she was pregnant after wedlock, or because she was in wedlock? She had to be a
Yavama. She was a Yavama, what's yes, called. Such, right. So this relationship of a Yavama to another man is something that again, you have to know exactly before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. I'm not going through that. That's a parasha. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. But be that as it may, the main thrust of what we want to discuss is Yehuda. What is the greatness of Yehuda's personality? He gets up and he makes a statement which is part of the process of tshuva. And on the pasuk in Tehillim, Tov Yashar Hashem Al Kein Yorech Hatoim Baderech, God chooses a person who will teach us how a sinner should get back on the derech, on the proper road. Rashi says, Yorech Hatoim Baderech Tshuva. Hashem needs a person, a human being, who's the paradigm of tshuva, who can teach us how far a person could go with tshuva. And the word tshuva is always connected with derech, with approach. For example, we say in Slichot, V'derech tshuva horesa, you have taught us the way of tshuva. Or for example, we say, Yorech hatoim badorech, Hashem will teach the derech to the sinners to do tshuva. There's another approach, and we'll soon see that Yosef is the paradigmic person of this approach, which is Torah. Torah is also called a derech. For example, in the 119th chapter, which is the longest chapter in Tanakh of Tehillim, it says, Ashrei smimei dorach haholchim b'toras Hashem. When we're talking about Torah, it's again going to be halicha. So the word halicha, which means going down a path, is going to be used in two different contexts. Number one, in terms of the derech tshuva. Number two, in terms of the derech of Torah. And now we're going to begin to understand how Yehuda and Yosef become paradigms of these two primary ways or drachim and approaches to serve Hashem. Yehuda blazes the trail. He teaches us the derech tshuva. He's the one who is the paradigm of tshuva. And therefore, Yehuda ta yoducha achecha. The pasuk says, that your brothers are going to learn Yoducha. Yoducha is Miloshon Vidui, when a person confesses a sin. Confession of a sin is a very difficult process for many reasons, mostly because man always considers himself great and it's humbling to admit and confess his failures and his disappointments in life, his deficiencies. But secondly, confession is very difficult because a person, when he confesses, he basically humiliates himself. And that's Yehuda. Yehuda is going to teach us Yoducha. He's going to teach us what Vidui is about. For example, we have the parasha of Shimon v'Levi. Shimon v'Levi were guilty, and Yaakov castigates them because they sold Yosef. They played a major role as the initiators of the sale of Yosef as an Eved. And Yehuda was very afraid that when Yaakov Avinu was castigating at the end of his life in Parshas Vayechi, Shimon and Levi, he was very afraid that if Yaakov is in this mode of bringing up all the sins of the past, he would bring up the sin of Tamar. V'hayim misyare Yehuda shalo yizkar lo maise Tamar. Hischil korelo, and instead Yaakov cried out, Yehuda toyo ducha achecha, meaning that you were moda, you confessed publicly the mice of Tamar for your sin, and therefore Yoducha Checha, they will learn from you, they will imitate you, and you will be a Melech Aleihem. So Yehuda is given Malchus, he's given leadership, because he personifies confession, Vidui, and Tshuva. That gives Yehuda the prominent state of leadership. We ask all the time, we always ask the question, why is Yehuda the Shevet of Melech, of Malchus, of kingship? What is it about Yehuda that makes him worthy of being the king of Israel? And the answer is Tshuva, because he teaches us the Derech Tshuva. And it goes even beyond that. The pasuk says, "Vayaker Yehuda." Yehuda recognizes the simonim. You remember the whole story. I'm not going to go into it now. That Tamar sends to him, "Vayomer tzadka mimeni," and he declares, "She is righteous, and I am not." But it goes even beyond that. What is the name of a Jew? A Jew is called a Yehudi. We are called by the name of Shevet Yehuda. And here we turn to page 2. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, you know what, Yehuda? And this is in Targum of Yonasan Ben Uzi on the second paragraph. Yehuda, to yoducha achecha. Yehuda, ant odis al uvda de tamar. You made a confession in the aftermath of the sin with Tamar, began Cain, and as a result, lech Yehodan. Achach yiskaren Yehodan al shmach. Hashem declares that all of your brothers and their descendants will be called on your name. They will be called Yehudim Mishevet Yehuda. Not everybody knows this, by the way. Not everybody knows that we're called Jews because of Shevet Yehuda. Not everybody knows why we got the name of Yehuda. And that's what we're learning today from this Medrash quoted by Targum Yonasan, that what is the greatness and the leadership role of Yehuda? Why does he become a Melech? Why are we called Yehudim? And the answer is because of his Vidui. He confesses his sin, he admits his guilt, and that's the Derech Tshuva that he's teaching us. Yosef, on the other hand, represents a different derech. Yosef represents the sanctity of Torah and Dafka Mitzrayim. How do we know so? I wouldn't have intuitively, automatically identified Yosef as the paradigm of Torah study, but yet, let's go back to the beginning of Yosef's life. He is the chosen brother amongst all the brothers by Yaakov Avinu, by Yisrael. V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav ki ben zkunim hulo. What does that mean, ben zkunim? It literally translates that he is the son of his older age. But Rashi says no, that the word zkunim comes from the word zikna, is chachma, is wisdom. Kol ma shelomad mishem v'yever, whatever Yaakov Avinu soaked up and he gleaned in the Beis Medrash of Shem v'yever, where he spent 14 years, Yom HaLayla, Masar lo, he transmitted to Yosef. Yosef is the one who's chosen to be, so to speak, the Rosh Hashiva, to receive the transmission of the Torah from Yaakov Avinu. And the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that Torah has an unbelievable power, and that is against the Yetzer Hara. When a person is tempted, he's allured by the temptation of sin. The only thing that could really strengthen him and give him that spiritual power to overcome that temptation is Torah. Torah is called a tavlin. A tavlin means it's an antidote against the Yetzer Hara, some sort of good spice. And those who are Osek B'Torah, are dedicated to Torah study, they have the ability to overcome the Yetzer Hara. In fact, the Gemara tells us that Yosef is the paradigm of an individual who's able to overcome the temptation of the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says that Yosef mechayves harishoyim. Rishoyim are those who follow their hedonistic lust and desire down a path of sin, of immorality. And the Rishoyim will say, well, look, the Yetzer Hara overwhelmed me, and that's why don't judge me as in such a harsh way as a guilty criminal. And then we're talking to the Russian, we're saying, well, wait a minute, you could have found the power, the antidote power, to overcome the Yetzer Hara if you would have been dedicated to the Torah, to the study of Torah. So the Russian says, you know what? Nah, Hayisi, I was a good-looking fellow. Torah be Yitzri, Hayisi. The Yetzer Hara got a hold of me. And, in the process of beautifying myself and looking so spiffy and so good-looking, the Yetzer Hara got the best of me. Omer Malo, but what about Yosef? Yosef was a pretty good-looking guy. And the Eshes Potiphar was trying to get him and allure him on a daily basis. It's unbelievable. The Medrash says that every morning she would show up in a different gown, a different outfit, and every evening a different outfit. She changed her clothing and came up with new garb every part of the day. And she begged him to sleep with him. And she threatened him that if he refused, he would be locked up in a jail. So Yosef responded, I'm not interested. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matir Asurim. God will get me out of jail. She said to him, I'm going to beat you so that you'll be bent over like a pretzel. So Yosef responds, Hashem is Zokef Kefufim. He can straighten out those who are crooked. I'm going to blind you. Yosef says, Hashem is Pokeach Ivrim. She offers him Elef Kikrei Kesef. We're now in the middle column on page 2. Please listen to me. I'm offering you all the money in the world. And he refuses. And he says, if I'm with you in this world, I will end up together with you in the next world, meaning I'm going to lose my place. So when we ask the Rasha, why didn't you dedicate yourself to Torah? And he says, well, because I was a good-looking guy, the Yetzer Hara got the best of me. We're going to turn to Yosef. Yosef is Mechayev Es HaRishoyim. Yosef really condemns the Rishoyim because he's in the same state of life. And yet, with all the allurement and all the temptation, Yosef overcomes this. And why? Because when we say to the Rosh, Lomalo Asakta B'Torah, had you dedicated yourself to Torah study, you would have been able to overcome the temptation of the Yetzer Hara. We look at Yosef and we say, how is Yosef able to overcome the Yetzer Hara? Is because of the Torah. In other words, Yosef is 17 years old when he's separated from his father. The first 17 years of his life, his father pumps into him and plants within him all the Torah that he could for those 17 years. And Yosef spends the next 22 years without his father, but he's always constantly learning and reviewing the Torah that he got from his father. How do I know this? If you'll take a look in the Medrash, which is in the middle paragraph, the Medrash says, Vayovo abaisa lasos malachto. What was he doing going to the house to be osek b'malachto, to be dedicated to his work. What work are we talking about? And the Gemara tells, the Medrash tells us, ma malacha hoysalo, shone v'kore masha oviv limdo. He was totally dedicated to review whatever he had learned from his father. In fact, when Yosef sends a message back to his father that I'm still alive, he sends him wagons. Why wagons? Why does the Torah emphasize that these were agalot? And Rashi says in the name of the Gemara in Sota that this is a reference, an allusion to Egla Rufa, the last parsha that Yosef was studying with his father 22 years earlier, was the sugya of Egla Rufa. Have you ever learned that sugya? Mm-hmm. It's a very profound sugya. Again, if you learn it in Daf Yomi, it's one level, but I mean to say it's really a profound sugya. And what happens when Eishes Potiphar tempts him? Says Rashi in the name of the Gemara in Sota, Biosa Shah Basa Diukno Shal Aviv, whose image does Yosef see in front of his eyes? His father's image. What does it mean, his father's image? And the answer is, the father's image represents Torah. And the Torah study is what's going to protect Yosef and fortify him with the spiritual energy to overcome the temptation of the Yetzer Hara. So the Zohar says on the bottom of the middle column, Vayovo habayso lasos malachto. He comes home to do his malacha. What malacha is kidei lasok batorah? He's dedicated to the study of Torah. And that's going to give him the ability to overcome the Yetzirah. So now Yosef, who's in Mitzrayim for so many long years, and yet he's dedicated to the Torah that he received from his father Jacob, he is the paradigm of Torah study. And now we begin to understand the Gemara in Sukkah, which is on the bottom left of page 2. The Gemara in Sukkah says that the ultimate redemption will be brought about by not one Mashiach, but two Mashiachim. One Mashiach is Mashiach ben Yosef, from the descendants of Yosef. The other Mashiach is Mashiach ben David, who is a descendant of Yehuda. David comes from Shevet Yehuda. What does it mean when we say that the ultimate Geula has to come through not one Mashiach but two Mashiachim? What does it mean when we say that God is Ose Shalom Bimromov and He makes peace and harmony between Yosef and Yehuda? They both represent two approaches. Each approach is called a derech. One is the derech of tshuva, the other is derech of Torah. One is the derech of Yehuda, and the other is the derech of Yosef. And the answer is that both of these approaches have to be integrated and harmonized to create one single entity, one synthesis, which is going to be the Geula. We start with Yehuda. Yehuda represents the personification of tshuva, as we said before, the derech tshuva. The Gemara says in Yuma at the end of the Masechta, Gidola tshuva shemevias ha-geula. What's going to bring about the ultimate redemption? It's tshuva. And there's one opinion in the Gemara, and we'll soon see that the Rambam, for one, accepts that opinion, that there will not be geula, there will not be a redemption until the people do tshuva. And that's how the Rambam paskins in the 7th Perek of Hilchos Tshuva. You'll see it on the top of your page 3. Ein Yisrael Nigolim Ela B'Tshuva. There's got to be a Tshuva process. We've got to be on the Derech of Tshuva. We have to learn from Yehuda, who's the paradigm of Tshuva. Otherwise there won't be any redemption. There won't be any Geula. I love that nigga.
Sorry.
What's nice about that nigga is it's pretty consistent. It's usually at about the same time. I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You don't have to say sorry. I mamish love that nigga, and it puts me in a very good mood, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yatzilenu Miyadam, that's what we need today more than anything else. In any event, if you take a look at Chazal, and this is a Medrash Rabbah at the beginning of the Torah, that the Torah describes the earth as Tohu Vavohu, right? It's just a void. And Choshech al Pnei HaTohom, and it's very dark. And Reish Lakish tells us that this pasuk and every word in this pasuk is referring to another golus, meaning another kingship that's going to subjugate the Jewish people. and Tov, for example, is Bavel, and there's a whole explanation why Bavel represents Tohu, Bohu represents Modai, Choshech is Yavon, and then Al Pnei HaTohom, that's going to be the Malchus HaRasha, that's the children of Esav, and specifically Amalek, that's going to subjugate us. But finally, Ruach Elokim Rachefes Al Pnei HaMoyim. And what is that Ruach Elokim? That's Melech HaMashiach. That finally the Melech is Mashiach is going to come. But then the Medrash asks, in what schus, in what merit, will Mashiach come? And the answer is, Bischus HaTshuva. Merachefes al pnei amayim, the concept of water is an illusion, a symbol or representative of tshuva. Mayim is tshuva. Shenera shifchi kamayim libecha posik in echa. So that now Yehuda is the one who creates a new trail. You know, he's a trailblazer and he creates the derech hatshuva. And that derech hatshuva is going to lead us to Mashiach, to Geula. And it won't be Mashiach unless there's going to be tshuva. For Ruach Elokim Rachefes HaPnei Mayim, the Ruach of Melech HaMashiach is Mayim. Mayim means tshuva because of the Pasuk Shivchi Kamayim Libech. So we begin to understand how critical it is that Yehuda represents Mashiach, because Yehuda personifies the Baal Tshuva. He's the Derech Tshuva HaReisa. He's going to teach us the way of tshuva. And which descendant of Yehuda is also a paradigm of tshuva, of a Baal Tshuva? Anybody know?
David
HaMelech. Excellent. David is the paradigm of Baal Tshuva. He's the one who in his tilim expresses Libi Chalal Bekirbi. My heart is like, is melts in inside of me. He's the one who does tshuva, and he becomes the paradigm of a Baal Tshuva, because he comes from Yehuda, and he is the father of Malchus because of Derech Tshuva HaReisa. He is the father of Mashiach because the Geula will only come about through Tshuva. And now we begin to understand where Yosef fits into this picture and why the process of Geula and the Mashiach depends upon Yosef. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, which you'll see in the middle column here, on this very same pasuk of Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Pnei Amayim, says that the Ruach Elokim of Ruach Shal Mashiach Merachefes al Pnei Mayim. What is Mayim? We said before that Mayim is symbolic of tshuva, but Mayim also has another symbolism to it. And what is that?
Torah.
Torah is always compared to Mayim. Having called Sove Lechula Mayim, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. When the people of Israel will dedicate themselves to Torah as a whole, as a community, as a tzibur, that's going to be Merachefes al Pnei Mayim. Then we'll have, says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, Ruach Elokim, Rachefes means the Ruach of Mashiach, in this case the Mashiach ben Yosef. So the Geula now depends both upon Yehuda for Derech Tshuva Reisa, and on Yosef because of the Derech Torah. The Mayim represents both Tshuva on the one hand and Torah on the other hand. And if this be the case, then we begin to understand, how is it that these Golios, in which the people of Israel are sent into exile, will finally come to a termination at the time of Mashiach? And he says the following, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe is very careful that when they're on the way to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, they take with them the atzmos of Yosef. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the disciple, so to speak, of Yosef. If Yosef is the paradigm of Torah study, then Moshe is going to play the role as the giver of Torah. Moshe understands that Yosef's ability to overcome the Yetzer Hara and succeed in his Avodas Hashem is purely because of his dedication to Torah study. And Moshe Rabbeinu understands how important it is that we follow in the footsteps of Yosef and dedicate ourselves to Torah study in order to overcome the powers and the allurement of the Yetzer Hara. So the Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Pnei Amayim, which clearly, according to Chazal, refers to the Ruach of Mashiach, has two interpretations. Number one, tshuva, which is again compared to mayim, shifchi kamayim libech, and number two, Torah, which is compared to Mayim. Both will lead the Jewish people back to their Father in heaven. Torah gives the ability of a Jew to overcome the Yetzirah that wants to take him away from his Father in heaven, and Tshuva, the ability of a Jew to declare and to recognize and acknowledge his sins and his faults and his deficiencies, that too is going to project the Jew back to his Father in heaven. And therefore, if you take a look on the left column, we go back to the Medrash that we started with, on the top of the left column. Ki hema hamalachim noadu, there are two kings. One king is Yehuda, and the other king is Yosef. But noadu, they have a rendezvous together, avru yachdav, they get together. Initially, there's a friction between the two. There's evra, evra means a very heavy kind of anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up that they would meet each other and they would battle it all out. One is going to represent his approach to Avodas Hashem, while the other, rejecting that approach, is going to suggest an alternative approach. The Shita, the approach of Yehuda, who is the father of Mashiach ben David, is the approach of Tshuva. That's going to bring about the Geula. And Yosef argues, no, what's going to bring about the Geula is Mashiach ben Yosef, meaning the Esek HaTorah, that's going to clinch the Geula. And the Medrash says, Rada Chazosam Sham, everyone who sees this spectacle is overwhelmed by fear. They realize that this is a friction, a confrontation between two great kings. And who is representative of the Ikar, meaning the main thrust of what's going to bring the Ruach HaMarachefes al Pnei HaMayim of Mashiach? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps into the picture and he says, Oseh Shalom Bimromov. These are two Malachim Edainim Elu V'Elu. And at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make peace. And if this be the case, we need Tshuva Shlema in order to bring about the Geula. The Tshuva of Hodaya, of confession, of admission of guilt, the tshuva of Torah, that when we're dedicated to Torah, and Hashem says, you know what? Both of them together are going to integrate to form one whole. That's the Oseh Shalom Bimromov. And if this be the case, on page 4, we begin to understand the connection between Yehuda and Yosef and the light of the Havdalah candle. And when do we make the bracha on the Havdalah candle? Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav yilam deyder Rabbeinu emosai mevarchem al aner b'motzoi Shabbos. What is this all about? What is the deeper meaning of this bracha, borei mi'orei ha'esh? And the answer you'll see in a paragraph that begins with the words v'yesh lilmod. And he quotes here the Tikkunei Zohar. Al ma tiknu levarech b'motzoi Shabbos birchas ma'oriya esh. The Zohar wants to understand, why is it that on Motzei Shabbos we make this bracha on the ma'orei ha'esh, the various hues and colors of the fire? Hatachlis bazel lechazik es hashchina kedosha hamitztaeres al neshama yaseir shenistalka min ha'adam. Man is endowed with an extra spiritual soul on Shabbos, the neshama yaseir, but it leaves on Motzei Shabbos, and we have to light two fires. And what are these two fires? And how will they help give man consolation and strength and project him to the week to come when he's being robbed of his neshama yisera, when he's spiritually injured, so to speak, or impaired? He no longer has the power of Shabbos. How is it that man is going to face the future week to come in the secular environment of one neshama instead of the neshama yisera? And the answer is that these two flames represent the powers of two Toros, of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, the written Torah and the oral Torah. And therefore it's very critical that when we make the bracha borei ma'orei ha'esh, we use the plural of ma'orei ha'esh. The ma'orei ha'esh means that we're talking about two different types of fires, two ishim as we call it, which were madlik together, and we make the bracha ma'orei ha'esh. On every Shabbos, the neshama yisera comes down to a Jew, and it gives him a close relationship, a proximity to Shechina Kedosha. And this is so important during the Jew in Golus, the period of exile, when a Jew feels so far removed from the Shechina, and he gets the Neshama Yisera on Shabbos, which brings him closer to the Shechina. But on Motzi Shabbos, when the Neshama Yisera leaves him, and the Shechina is no longer there, it's Ubayom Hashvi Shavas Vayinofash. Vayinofash is the same as Vayinofash, which means that the Shechina realizes that now, in its departure, man becomes vulnerable. Man becomes exposed to the mundane daily allurements that pull him in the wrong direction, and therefore he needs shtei ishos, two fires: the fire of Torah Shebichsav, the fire of Torah Shebalpeh. And what this means is that the Havdalah candle represents this unity or this integration of the two Toros. If you take a look on the left column, the Gemara tells us, "Kol Mishamer Shabbos Kilchos Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kedorah Enosh Mochlim Lo." A person who worshipped an idol, but if he achieves Shmira Shabbos Kilchos, meaning he's totally dedicated meticulously to Shabbos, Hashem will forgive him for the most grave sins. In this case, the gravest sin of all of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that Kol Mispalel Berev Shabbos V'Yomer Vayechulu. When he recites Vayechulu in his house, Shnei Malochi Asharis Malavim Lo, there were two Malochi Asharis that came to be with him, and they escort him home after Shabbos, and they're there at his Shabbos table, because once he observes the Shabbos, Hashem is mochel him on his avonos, even on severe averos, and therefore he's now ready to be accompanied by two Malochi Asharis. And he's ready to dedicate himself to serving Hashem in a pure, and to dedicate himself to the study of Torah in a pure way. So the Medrash asks the question, and we'll have to try to wrap it up very soon. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Emosai Mevarchim Al Aner B'Motzei Shabbos. When is it possible to make the bracha in front of HaKadosh Baruch on the Ner Mitzvah, which represents the R, the supernal infinite light of God, the infinite light of the Torah? At what point can we say that if Eino Naki Me'avonos, if after all he is guilty of some deficiencies, some shortcomings and failures, maybe HaKadosh Baruch doesn't want his Torah, Chas V'Shalom? And the answer is no. After a person benefits from the R, Shehenu, he gets benefit from the R, is Yehenu Bashamayim the R Toroso, Ki Kvar Nimchulu Lo Avonoso B'Shabbos, and Oz Efshol Levarach Lefnei Hashem Ala R Haner Shu Esek Atona. The R, the light of the Avdolah candle, represents the light of Torah. And when a person is guilty of sin, but then he dedicates himself to observe the Shabbos, and the Shabbos endows him with a certain extra power of Neshama Yisera and an extra Mechila, at that point, he can look at the Ner and benefit and enjoy that connection between two Toros, the two Ishim, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh. In other words, the transition between Shabbos and the weekday is a rededication to the study of Torah, to the R of Torah. And that's what it means, She'yeosu la'oro, that he is now committed to take the week to come and utilize it to its utmost for the sake of study of Torah. If you'll ask me, does Hashem want my Torah? After all, I'm guilty of sin, I may not be pure. The answer is that Shabbos has passed, and Shabbos with its Neshama Yisera brings about a mechila, a forgiveness for his sins that cleanses him, even for the most severe of all averos. At that point, after Shabbos has uplifted him, and after Shabbos has cleaned his slate, he is now ready for Esek HaTorah. He's now ready to benefit from these two Ishim, each representing a different part of the Torah. Minayin, how do we know? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or ubein ha'choshech. Klomar, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the or of Torah, and he sees that it's good, that that a person is now free of sin and he's able to dedicate himself to the Torah study on a pure level, Hashem says, let me separate this R from darkness. Darkness represents those forces of evil that try to undermine a person's sanctity. And Hashem says, you know what? The R is the R of Torah. It's pure. I'm going to separate it from choshech, the choshech of contamination, of impurities. And this is what the Torah study of a person can do. It can be meir, it could give a light of Or Ki Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take that light and separate it from choshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to endow a person as a result of his dedication to Torah study with the ability to overcome all of his sins, all of his temptations. His Torah will be a Torah of Tavlin against the Yetzer Hara. And this is what the Pasuk of the Es Yehuda Sholach Lefanav El Yosef is all about. Why did Yaakov Avinu choose Yehuda and send him to Yosef in order to set up a Beis HaTalmud? And the answer is to teach us a Horah L'Doros, a lesson, a principle for all generations, that Tzarech lahakdim es derech hatshuva shel Yehuda. We have to undergo the process of tshuva, of cleansing ourselves from sin, of the neshama yaseir of Shabbos, before we're ready for the Torah of Yosef, before we can enjoy the benefit of these two flames of the Havdalah candle. And therefore, Chazal made an enactment that we should bless the Or, the light of the Ner on Motzi Shabbos, after we've experienced that process of tshuva during the course of Shabbos. Shabbos cleanses us of our dross, our spiritual tumah, contamination. And now, having undergone the experience of tshuva, we're ready for dedication to Torah study. The ultimate geula will be brought about by two kings, by a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. We need first the process of geula through tshuva, and therefore Yehuda sent lefanav, he sent first before Yosef. And then, after the process of tshuva, when we're nekiyim, when we're cleaned of all contamination and dross, now we're ready to dedicate ourselves to the pure, supernal light of purity, the light of the Torah, the light that's represented by Yosef, who studies Torah even in the most dire, dark conditions of Golis Mitzrayim. When we're ready after a Shabbos to dedicate ourselves to purity, because we've already undergone the experience of tshuva of Shabbos, the mechila that's inherent in the power of Shabbos, our meticulous observance of Shabbos Kilchasa now has projected us to the next level, the level that's going to take us through the mundane days that are going to come in the week to come, the days in which the Yetzer Hara is redoubling his efforts and his energies against us, and the Tavlin of Torah is going to overcome those temptations and those forces of the Yetzer Hara. So we go through a two-stage process as individuals, the process of tshuva and then the process of Torah, and as a community, as a tzibur of Klal Yisrael, we'll undergo these two processes with first the Mashiach ben Yehuda, meaning ben David, and then ultimately the Mashiach ben Yosef. May we be zocheh b'meirav yomeinu to see that geula and the light of Torah speedily in our days. Kein yiratzon. Amen. Amen. Amen.